First of all, I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Trevor, Pastors Terry and Juanita. I honour you guys. Thank you so much. I don't take it for granted. You've stood with me for over 6 years when I first went to Kenya, remember? And I thank you for standing with me, for your prayers, for your love, for your support, for your encouragement. You don't know what that means. So thank you. Thank you for having me today. It's a great pleasure and an honor to be here. And it's almost beginning to feel like coming home when I come here. So thank you so much for having me. Well, I've been in the country since October 10th. Pastor Bill started his UK tour on October 14th. Now, just before, as many of you are probably aware, just before he got here, he was shot in Syria. Not the first time he's been shot, but he was shot. He went to Syria, to the refugee camp over the border of at the Israeli border, into the refugee camp there in Syria, to set up a medical camp and to start a Sunday school. As you know, we go into the most dangerous and needy places of the world. And so while he was there, he was wearing his bulletproof vest, but he got shot in the back, and the velocity of the bullet dented the metal plate, broke two of his ribs, which then punctured his lung. The force of it flung him on the floor forward, so he cracked two of his front ribs and fractured his skull. They got him over the border into Israel, into Jerusalem, to a hospital there, and they wanted to keep him in, and he said, "No, if you keep me in, I won't be able to go to the UK. My flight's tomorrow. And I have to be on that flight. I've got a tour coming up. People are waiting for me to go. And I also have to raise the money to place a Christmas gift in the hand of every child this Christmas." See, because when he was a child, he never, ever received a Christmas gift. And he knows what that is like for a child to feel that. You feel unloved. As many of you know and are probably aware, he was abandoned on the street by his mother as a child. And his mother said, "Wait here, I'll come back for you," and she never did. And he sat on the corner for 3 days, 3 nights, no food, no money, no water. And on the third day, a Christian gentleman who'd been driving past saw him on the third day and thought, "Something is wrong." And he got out of his car and he went over and he said three words, "Are you okay?" That is what set in motion what is the largest Sunday school in the world today. Pastor Bill is the front man, but it is that one act by a man who was not an evangelist as such, not with a title of pastor, prophet, or anything else. He was just an ordinary Christian man who stopped his car, got out, and saw the need that day and met that need that day. And that is what put in motion what is today the largest Sunday school in the world, with over 201,000 children being taught the Word of God every single week. So Pastor Bill wants me to pass his greetings on to you. He came over to the UK. He did his tour. Some of the daytime stuff he couldn't fulfill because he wasn't well enough. But the nighttime stuff he did. We drove over 2,500 miles in just over 2 weeks. And so keep him in your prayers. He is thankful for you. He's thankful for your prayers. And he's doing well. He's just taking each day as it comes. When he finished here in the UK, I stayed on to do my own tour. And he went to France. Then he went to Dubai. Then he went to India, which he is there now. And then he will go back to the USA. And that's where he said he will get treated. So keep him in your prayers. He's been coughing up blood most of the time that he's been on tour. And he just thanks God for another chance, another opportunity to be able to serve him and minister for him. So as I said, I stayed on and I did Isle of Wight. I've done England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales. Got back from Ireland yesterday. I'm here today. I'm in Worthing, Lansing tonight. And then I go to Ghana on Tuesday for a week and then I go back home to Kenya. And it's just a great privilege to be here. And a lot of people say to me, "You must be exhausted." And to be honest, don't tell me that. Don't say that to me, because I'm not exhausted. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he gives strength to the weak. And yeah, there are times when you feel tired, but I will not declare that over myself. We can either declare God's word, or we can go about saying, oh, I'm really tired. Oh, I'm well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I refuse to think that way. No, God will give me strength. As your days, so shall your strength be. And it's how we think, and we need to think the word of God. And so don't come and tell me, even if I look tired, don't say you look tired. I refuse to use the T word, amen? God is my strength. And as past, thank you. You know, some days, like the other day, I lasted 4 hours sleep. And then I had to get up early, get the flight over to England. Then I had to drive, get the hire car. Then I had to go and pick up the stuff that I'd left, the books and stuff. Then I had to drive down to Stoke-on-Trent yesterday morning to speak in the afternoon. And then after that, I drove here, which is 3 hours, 3.5 hours. So I don't use the tired word. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's no excuse. You know, when you reach the age of 50 and you realize that the years you have left to live are less than the years you've already lived, something changes. A lot of you are you're agreeing with me, you know. For some of you younger ones, that doesn't really mean anything because you think you have a lot of life ahead of you, but none of us can guarantee tomorrow. And so when the opportunity came for me to go to Kenya six and a half years ago now, I jumped at it with both hands, because the opportunity of a lifetime is only there for the lifetime of that opportunity. And I knew that if I didn't take it, then God would find somebody else. And I was so sick and tired of singing about going. I was so sick and tired about hearing about going. I was so sick and tired about speaking about going that eventually I got to the point where I thought, you know what? I've just got to go. My life is passing. And I turned 59 just a few days ago. And it's just an age. It's just a number. Seriously, it is just a number. God can give you the strength. The big 6-0 next year. What's it like? Is it okay? Yeah? But, you know, we need to get a sense of urgency in our hearts, not just because we're getting older, but because time is short, because we're singing about that great day when Christ will come. And there's many, many people outside here that have not even heard about the love of Jesus. And I'm so thrilled when I hear that a couple of people gave their lives to the Lord yesterday in Alpha. That thrills my heart, that 1 minute they're on one path going to a lost eternity, the next minute when they give their life to Jesus, he takes their sin, he wipes it clean, and he gives them a brand new start. And now they're on a different path, and they're going to a different eternity. And it's just, it's amazing to me, and it's wonderful to me. And Jesus, there's nobody like him. There's nobody that can replace him. There's nobody that can compare with him. There's nothing that can substitute his power and his presence in your life. And whatever it is you're looking for, you will only find it in Jesus. He is the all-sufficient one. People say that a wise man learns from his mistakes, and a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. So young people, don't hang around young people. Hang around older people. Get talking to them. Learn from their mistakes so that you don't fall into the same mistakes. Amen? Whew. Now, so I went to Kenya on a one-way ticket. I sold everything I had, car, house, everything, all my belongings. And I went to Kenya on a one-way ticket with two suitcases and one guitar. And I got to the Manchester airport, put my ticket on the desk, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Kenya." She said, "You're not." I said, "Why?" She said, "You only have a one-way ticket." I said, "I'm going to Kenya." She said, "You're not." This woman came out of nowhere and said, "What's happening?" I said, "They won't let me travel. I only have a one-way ticket." She said, "Who are you? Where are you going? And what are you going to do?" So I told her, and she just looked at the woman behind the counter and she said, "Let her through." And God made a way where there was no other way. God can do anything for you. Just trust him. Step out in faith and you will see the wonders and miracles that God can do. I went on a one-way ticket because I didn't want to leave myself an out. I didn't want to leave myself a bridge to go back. I didn't want to leave myself an excuse. Because it's easy when things get tough to just say, right, that's it, I'm out. When you get malaria twice, when you get set upon downtown and they try and rob you. And I just ran after him. he grabbed something out of my pocket and ran, and I just ran after him and grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and pulled him back. He could have had a knife, he could have had a gun, but you know what? When God's power is in you, you don't think about that. And I ran after him and I grabbed him and I pulled him down, and then everybody started gathering round, right? So it was quite a drama. And I was okay, he was okay. They wanted to set him on fire, because that's what happens in Kenya. If you're caught stealing, they will just put a rubber ring tie around your neck, set it on fire. It's called mob justice. They don't wait for the corrupt police and courts to do anything. They will just deal with it there and then. So they wanted to do that, and I said no, and I used it as an opportunity to share the grace and love of the Father. But I didn't want to leave myself an excuse to go back. Because the two hardest things in life are starting and finishing. And when you step out in faith, then the hardest thing is to stay and see things through to the end. But people need to know that you are not going to just quit. That they see so many organizations come in, start something, and then they're gone when the going gets tough. So that they think, oh, it's just another organization. But because we've stayed, because we've committed, and our commitment has been stronger than our emotions. Because if you're going to succeed in life, your commitment is going to have to be stronger than your emotions. Because your emotions will tell you all kinds of different things. Fears and doubts will come into your own mind. People will speak negative, but your commitment has to be stronger than any of that. And so we stayed, and the Ministry of Education have given us authority to go into any school in Kenya. And we're just in one county. But because of the difference that they've seen in the children, performance, attendance, attitude is all improving. Exam results are going up. And because of this, they've seen what the feeding program does and what the mentoring program does and just what the ordinary teaching program does. They have given us permission to go into any school in Kenya. That is phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. It's a big breakthrough. Last year, they made a ruling that nobody can go into schools and do anything because they were fearing radicalization. And I got a phone call and they said, you've heard the ruling from the top of the parliament. I said, yes. He said, well, I'm ringing to tell you that you are the only organization allowed to go into schools in Kenya. And, you know, God is just amazing. Amen. God can do anything. When God is with you and God is for you, nobody can be against you. I want to just mention a couple of things before I speak the word. There are some cards on your seat if you're sitting on them. As Pastor Bill says, that is not the purpose of them, to keep you warm. We are raising up a prayer network. We know that we cannot do what we do without the support of people praying for us all around the world. When things happen, like Pastor Bill gets shot, or like in India where our team had just finished teaching Sunday school, they got set upon by Hindu militants and they were beaten with iron bars, almost killed them. So they were in hospital. When things like that happen, we want to be able to shoot an email out and say, hey, please pray for us. Please get your prayer groups together. Please join as a church and pray for us. That's what this is. We will not inundate you with emails. We don't have time to write them. You don't have time to read them. We will not inundate you with begging letters. This is just for you to join us in prayer. We will keep you up to date with what's going on in the ministry. It's perforated. You can tear it off. Give that part to me at the back table. And this one goes in your Bible. If your Bible is on your iPhone or your phone, then I don't know what you're going to do with it. As Pastor Bill says, maybe wrap it round it and sellotape it to it. But let me tell you, this is the only one that does not lose its power. Amen? Okay, there are some other resources on the back table there. Whose Child Is This? Many of you are familiar with it. Many of you will have read it. It's the story of the whole Necho World Child. How Pastor Bill, the trials, the struggles, the things that he had to go through, the commitment that he had to have, the tenacity that he had to have to stay and to make things happen. And this is the whole story. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It's in 32 languages. It's required reading in many Christian institutions around the world. But more than anything, it will really force you to look inside, and it will challenge you where you're at in life, what are you doing with your life. So that's available at the back table. Who's not read this book? If you sit at the back, you get nothing. You're welcome. And then there are some other books there by Pastor Bill. Teflon Rhino, if you're going to make it in life, you're going to have skin as thick as a rhinoceros. We're made out of Teflon, that nothing sticks. You don't get offended, you don't get hurt, you just keep focused and stay on the kingdom business, amen? So this is available with a few other books that Pastor Bill's teachings. They're very, very good, challenging reading. Who's not read this book? You can buy them at the back table afterwards. There are DVDs. I need to tell you about these because they are not for children. Streets of Pain, Gone Before Dawn, Death Before Sunrise. These are 18 rated DVDs. They are Pastor Bill following life in New York, following people that he's trying to reach on the streets, prostitutes, gang members, drug addicts. Very hard to watch. But sometimes we need to get out of our cocoon and we need to see what really goes on in life. And lastly, the thing that you will see on the table there, these are the children that we are laying down our very lives for. We've got children available on the back table from India, Philippines, Kenya, and it's a £20 a month commitment. It will really change the life of these children. It really does impact on their lives. In Kenya and the Philippines, they actually receive a hot meal every day when they are sponsored. Let me tell you how life is in Kenya. I'm not trying to pull your heartstrings. This is me just telling you how it is because I live there. I've seen children walk 2 hours to school every day on no breakfast. I've seen them not be able to afford the lunch. I've seen them walk 2 hours back home and hope that the parents that day have been able to raise a little bit of money to be able to put something on the table that night. They don't get a monthly paycheck like you and I. So if that doesn't happen, then the next day they will walk 2 hours to school again. And that could go on for 2 or 3 days before the parents have raised enough to put a meal on the table. These children often pass out in school. They often go to sleep at their desk because they are so weak. We once held a Christmas thing in a stadium and there was thousands of children there. And we did the program. The Sunday school program is very exciting, up front, boys on one side, girls on the other. We use puppets, we use drama, we use cartoon pictures, but the Word of God is strong. And we do songs and games, and it's very high active. And then we got to the feeding part, and we had bags of hot rice and meat. And me being British, I thought they would all line up. But so desperate were they for the food that as soon as I held up the bag, they just launched at it from all directions, ripped it open in midair. It fell on the floor and they got down like a dog and ate it off the floor like a dog. They don't live like you. They don't live like me. They live in poverty and you've never seen anything like it. I watched one young girl in a school. I went there to check on the feeding program and there was the kitchen and they were feeding those that could afford lunch. There was a window and it was a mud window and all these little faces were hanging in at the window hoping that there would be something left. And I was watching them feed the ones that could afford and then I was watching them feed the ones that we sponsor and making sure they got fed. And then there was some food left and so I dipped in my pocket and I said, I'll pay for however many children this will feed. She said, well, there's enough for 4 children left. There's about 7 faces in the window. So I said, well, can you choose? She said, no, you choose. How do you choose? There's 7 faces in the window and there's only enough for 4. And she said, just look in their eyes, you'll know. And you look in their eyes and you can see the desperation. You can see the hope that you would pick them. And I'm telling you, it broke me. And I had to choose 4 to come and get fed. And then when I got outside, there was a little girl came up to me and she was crying. And she said, I haven't eaten and I'm really hungry. And I knew there was nothing left. But I wanted to give her hope. And I thought maybe the cook had a secret stash of food somewhere else. So I went in and I said, she's not eaten, she's really hungry. And she said, I'm sorry, there's nothing left. And I watched this little boy who had paid for, who'd come in and got his meal. I watched him take that plate, and I watched him take it to the little girl who had nothing. And I watched him give her everything. And he walked away hungry. And I looked at the cook and she looked at me, and there were just no words. We were just both in tears. There was just no words to say. I just walked away. Couldn't speak. These kids have nothing, and yet they're willing to give everything they have to somebody else that has nothing. So that's what our child sponsorship program is. This is Pastor Bill sitting on the street corner. This is some kid needing that hope. And if you today can find it in your heart to just say, yeah, I'll sacrifice, I'll do something. Maybe you can get together in a group if you cannot afford it yourself. And just do something and step up to help make a difference in the lives of these children. That would be great. Thank you so much. I want you, what time do we finish, Pastor? Okay. Word of God's more important than lunch. I like that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 there. It says, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the first thing I noticed when I was reading this passage is in verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. So things were going well. Disciples were being added to the church daily. And the church was growing, and yet there was a murmuring. How many of you know that sometimes when things are going well, things are changing, things are beginning to take shape, and you're going to another level, things are growing, and then there's always a murmuring, an underlying current. Well, why are we changing that? Well, why is that changing? We've been doing it that way for 40 years. I'm sure this doesn't go on here, but this was the murmuring that was going on. Well, Pastor Terry didn't do it like that. And there was this under, and I don't know anything, honestly. I'm just. There's just an underlying murmuring, right? It's not even vocal out there, if you're with me. It's just an underlying murmuring. One person murmurs to another person murmurs to another, and it's always when things are going well, when God is adding to the church, when things are being multiplied, there's an underlying current of murmuring. And so we read on, and it says, brethren, verse 3, look out for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may give over this business, what they were murmuring about. And they said, look out for 7 men of honest report. Now, they didn't say look for 7 honest men. They said, look out for 7 men of honest report. There's a difference there. These are men that have been recognized to be full of integrity. These are men that are, people are reporting about them, that they're full of honesty, that they are full of integrity, that they are in good standing. There's a difference between being an honest person and being of honest report, that people recognize and they notice in you that you are a person of integrity. And then it says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Not a quarter full, not three quarters full, not even here. They are full of the Holy Ghost. When a cup is three quarters full, will it overflow? No. Will it overflow if it's full to the brim? No. But when it's right full to there, you know when someone brings you a cup of water and it's like there and you can see it spilling, it overflows. And they said these were chosen because they were full of the Holy Ghost. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord will overflow. The exuberance of the Lord will flow out of you. Rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. We are supposed to be the people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, set the captives at liberty, heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. That's the people who we're meant to be. But we're not seeing it so much, are we? We're seeing it, one or two maybe, big men, big names, big ministries, and people flock to go and see them. And you know, if we were all full of the Holy Ghost, we would all be doing that, so there would be no need for platforms for big people. I'm not being disrespectful. I know God uses them, but God can use all of us if we're full of the Holy Spirit. And there wouldn't be any need for anyone to flock to anybody, because we'd all be out there ministering to the lost instead of feeding and getting fat as Christians. Amen? Amen. And so they were full of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know, I think there are no anointed people. I think to the degree that you are willing to die to self is the degree that the Holy and Anointed One can flow through you. So that we are dead completely to ourselves, to sin, to our pride, to everything of our own image. And the Holy Anointed One can flow through us. And so they chose these men, full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And they said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So now we see that he's not just full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, but it says here that he's full of faith as well. And it says they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a Prochorus? We don't hear anything about Prochorus. We don't hear anything about Nicanor, Timon. We hear a little bit more about Stephen because the next couple of chapters details more on his life. But we've never heard this, just this one verse with this mention of Prochorus and Timon and Parmenas, Nicholas. And we've not heard of them. And they set them before the apostles. These are the ones that have no title. They're not ranked. They're not rated, but they were the ones that were chosen. And they were set before the apostles in verse 6, and it says, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And then it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So here's these seven men, and they were chosen because of their standing, because they were full of the Holy Ghost. And it says that the word of God multiplied and the disciples were increased. Now you would think that it would be the men, the apostles who were saying, we won't wait on tables, we'll devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word, right? You would think it would be them, that as they give themselves continually to prayer and to the word, that they would be the ones that are full of power, full of anointing, full of the Holy Ghost, and they probably were. But you would think it would be them that when they go out, they would see the signs and wonders, they would see the miracles, they would see the things increasing and disciples. But no, the Bible tells us here that it was them. And verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith, and now he's full of faith and power. So not only is he full of the Holy Ghost and full of honest report, full of wisdom, full of faith, now he's full of power. And it says he did great wonders and miracles among the people. And you would think that it would be the ones who were devoting themselves to prayer. And that was really encouraging to me. Because I thought, you know what? It was Prochorus, it was Timon, it was Nicanor. And you might be just an ordinary person this morning. You might be a Mary, a Julia, an Anna, a David, a Matthew. You might just be an ordinary person, but God can choose you. God can use you. God can fill you with his Holy Ghost, and you can be out there doing the great signs and wonders, helping to increase the number of disciples. And what struck me also is that these men that were chosen, they must have devoted themselves to prayer. And they must have devoted themselves to the Word of God, because had they not done that, they would not have been full of the Holy Ghost in the first place to be chosen. So it takes both. It takes being devoted to prayer. It takes being in the Word. And it takes having the faith and being full of the Holy Ghost and getting out there. So in verse 1, we saw about the murmuring. Flip back to chapter 5. And I'm trying to find the verse. got it. Verse 36. We see something else rising up here. We need to be careful what rises up. Because in chapter 6, verse 1, it was the murmuring that was rising up. In chapter 5, verse 36, it says, before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered. So we've got this guy called Theudas who thinks he is somebody, who wants to have a title, who wants to be important, who wants to be of significance, but he self-appoints himself. And there are people that like the limelight. They like to be important. They like a title. And this is what this guy was. And so we've seen the murmuring was rising up. Now we see self-appointed men rising up. And in the next verse, 37, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and he drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So this man rose up, and he was drawing people away, causing factions, causing things to be divided. We need to be careful what rises up within us. See, because they were both slain. Both these men, Theudas and Judas, they rhyme, don't they? So it just crossed my mind. Theudas and Judas, be careful if your name rhymes with that. Both of them were slain. Now that should serve as a warning to us before we go appointing ourselves and giving us self-importance, before we go drawing people away. Would we do that? Would we even think of that if we knew that we were going to be slain and all the people following us would be dispersed? Be careful what we allow to rise up in our spirits. And all the people were scattered and they said, leave them alone. If it's of God, it will succeed. If it's not of God, it will come to naught. Everything that is of God will succeed. And if it's not of God, it will come to nothing. Be careful what rises up. Let's go back to chapter 6. So here we see in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, doing great wonders and miracles. Then in verse 9, then there arose. Here we go again. We've had the murmuring arising. We've had the self-appointed arising. And now we have the synagogue, certain of the synagogue. These were people of the church. These weren't outsiders. These were people in the church that started disputing with Stephen. So now it's not just a murmuring, is it? Now it's more vocal. Now they're actually facing Stephen face to face and they're disputing and arguing with him. And that's what will happen with underlying currents. If you do not deal with it in your spirit, it will become more vocal. And it will start to become a war and a fight within the church. Our fight is with the powers of darkness this morning. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We are not to tear one another down with our vocal cords. We are to use our lips to praise God, to worship Him, to encourage people, to lift people up. Change will come. We need to get used to change. Change will come. But be an encourager. Be one that gets behind people and encourages them. Yeah? Amen. And so they started disputing with Stephen. And it goes on to say they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And in verse 15, in 13, they set up false witnesses. They stirred up the people. They were going complaining to others. They were stirring up the people. And that's what you do when you gossip, when you talk negative about somebody else. You color their vision of somebody else, if you like. You color their opinion. And you stir up other people against somebody else. And that's what they were doing with Stephen here. And in verse 15, it says, "And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, and they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Remember Moses when he went up the mountain? He was so close to God that his face shone with the glory of God. It says his face shone so much that they had to put a veil over his face. And I think that's what was happening with Stephen here. When everything was coming up against him, when there was murmurings coming up against him, when there was people self-appointing themselves coming up against him, when there was all this thing, stuff going on, when there were people disputing against him, taking him to the council, he looked up steadfast. And it says, they saw the face as it were of an angel. Are you close enough to God today that when things are coming against you, when people are speaking all kinds of things against you, when negativity is arising, are you close enough to God to keep your face fixed and your eyes fixed on Jesus? And then we go on to see the story in the next chapter of how they stoned him. They gnashed on him with their teeth because he started talking about all the great people in the Bible, and he brought it right up to date with Jesus, and he called them murderers and traitors because they had put Jesus to death. And that made them angry, and they gnashed on him with the teeth. And it says they stoned him, and as they were stoning him, he looked up and he said, "Lay not this to their charge." Are you close enough to God that when everything is coming against you, when people are speaking against you, when everything is coming up like a big wall, are you close enough to him to just say, "Lay not this to their charge," and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus? Because the only thing that should be rising up is the body of Christ. The only thing that should be rising up is the church of Christ in power, in unity, and standing up for those who have no voice. For standing up for people like this little guy. Can you give me the picture that I showed you? Standing up for those who have no voice. Standing up for this little guy in Kenya, who was hungry, and he stole 20 shillings from his uncle, and his uncle caught him, and that's what happened to him. Who's going to stand up for these people? Give me the next picture. Who's going to stand up for little Vivian, who was burnt on the back of her neck, who was subject to abuse, who was raped twice at the age of 10 years old? These are the children that we are dealing with every day. These are the ones that the church should be rising up, speaking up for them, Not rising up and complaining. Not rising up and disputing. Not rising up and trying to be somebody. But get out there in the world and rise up. Get out there and knock on the door. You don't have to go to Kenya. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to go to the Philippines. They're right here. They're right here in the houses around here. Some of them are thinking about committing suicide. Some of them don't know how they're going to pay their next bill. Some of them are lonely. Some of them don't know who to turn to. And they're waiting for the church to rise up. They're waiting for those that will surrender their all. Not just live their life through the week and come to church on a Sunday. You can take the picture down, thank you. They're looking for those who will surrender their whole life to God. Surrendering your life to God. We hear a lot about that, don't we? But we tend to keep back our own kind of dreams and desires. God wants you in the place where you even, the dreams and desires that he births in you, where you even get to the place where you surrender all of that to him too. So that we are nothing and he can live through us. We're going to end by singing a well-known hymn. And when we get to that fourth verse, if you want God to do something in you, if you want to respond, if you feel the Holy Spirit is talking to you, then when we get to the fourth verse, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul. My life, my all. If that's you, then respond. I'm sure that we can pray with you and just allow the Spirit of God to touch you. It's not enough to be moved, to be stirred today. We have to be moved to action. It's not enough to go away and say, what a great meeting or anything like that. We have to be moved to action because time is short and time is running out. And there are people, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are people who are going to a lost eternity. And we are the ones with the answer. We are the ones that are supposed to be full of the joy unspeakable and full of glory. The peace that passes all understanding. Take it. Take it and go and share it with those who need to have it. Amen? Amen. So if you want to respond this morning, as we're singing this, just come and kneel at the altar and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Let's all stand, shall we?
sing it worth the whole round.
Thank you, Father.